I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Houston, we got a show.
Go Loopos.
Landry Locker and John Lopez. You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader.
I love Houston. I love the stadium. I love the fans. I just love the atmosphere.
Sports Radio 610.
70 days. That is 10 weeks till Texans versus Kansas City Chiefs. Might be some slight changes in regards to that. We are 4 weeks away from NBA players sneaking in lot lizards, allegedly. We will get to the bottom of that. And we are less than a month away from the Houston Astros starting their season. But there will be one player potentially missing. We'll let you know who that is. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, how in the bleep are you living, my friend?
I am living well. It is bearing down on us, 4th of July weekend, bearing down on us. Sports, you said it, 10 weeks from today. That seems a lot more, you know, tangible, a lot more touchable from where we're sitting right now. 10 weeks from today, we're going to be talking on game day of the Houston Texans versus the Kansas City Chiefs. And before that, lots of basketball, lots of baseball. Things can change. We know that. But as of now, that's what it's looking like. I'm excited, man.
And I mean, I think some of the fat got trimmed that you've been begging for ever since I've been knowing you, John. I mean, this is our 527th show together. Shout out to the Loopholes, by the way. If you listen, you are a Loophole. We hope you enjoy your 4th of July weekend. It's going to be a different one, but we hope you enjoy it nonetheless. But looks like maybe there's not going to be as many preseason games. That's a definite. They're getting rid of week one and week four. But I'm going to be honest. I don't see them playing any preseason this year. But you've been calling for this for a long, long time.
Yeah, I have. And I think it's much like the DH in baseball. I think it's going to be something that maybe not eliminated altogether permanently, but it'll be adjusted altogether. Permanently. I think we'll get down baby steps. They'll get down to two preseason games for, you know, from now on. I think this year, you mentioned it, they officially, you know, they went down to two preseason games. And by the way, for those teams that are like, hey, wait a minute, you know, we have two road games in the middle of the, you know, in the middle of our four that were scheduled. That's not going to be the case. They're going to adjust it all. It's going to be one home game, one road game. For the Texans, it was already one home game, one road game. But I know the Cowboys had two road games in the middle. They'll adjust that because they want all the owners to at least have one potential home game for whatever reason. It's not going to be any crowd in there, but for whatever reason, local TV, et cetera. But I think it's going to go down to zero, to be honest, and this whole point will be moot.
And there was also a report that the NFL might, and we have to make it clear, it's might consider making fans that attend games sign waivers. So if you were going to go to a game, whether it's emailing or whatever, you would have to sign a waiver potentially. Again, it's a might. It's not official. It was courtesy of the Athletic. I don't know what exactly is accomplished by signing a waiver. But nothing. I also think it's kind of ridiculous if you go to an NFL game, and there's a lot of people that'd be willing to risk it. Quite honestly, if you told me I could go to an NFL game right now and it was a regular season game, I would think about it. I mean, I know how dangerous things are, but I would think about it. I would at least give it some thought and think about it and try to be extra safe. But I do think that if you are risking going to a game and you get the coronavirus at a large gathering, like what exactly is the NFL protecting itself from? Some sort of lawsuit where I got the coronavirus at a NFL game? What is the point of this potential, we got to keep it clear, potential action that the NFL is considering taking?
Look, it's not worth the pixels that it's written on, the paper that it's written on. I think most attorneys would tell you that. Whenever someone asks you to sign a waiver, doesn't it make you think that they're worried? You know, that not in terms of like the legal ramifications, that they're not exactly 100% confident in what they're doing? Because it does me. I think when an NFL team asks, or anybody, but in this case an NFL team asks me to sign a waiver, it's an eyebrow raiser. It's like, okay, well, they are not exactly confident in this case that they will protect fans, that there's a likelihood of this being an altogether safe environment, that their safeguards are not exactly, they're not exactly confident in it. So I think it says a lot about the NFL, you know, potentially, if this is going to be what they do. But it also, it's, I'll sign the waiver. You want me to sign a waiver? Sure. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, if it comes down to some sort of lawsuit, it doesn't mean a dang thing. I think most attorneys will tell you that. And then one other thought that you kind of alluded to there. If I'm signing a waiver, what the heck am I, thinking even trying to sue somebody? It's not as if anyone on the planet doesn't know that there's a pandemic going on and you're taking a risk pretty much every time you go into any type of crowded situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think you gotta protect yourself. I don't think you can rely on the NFL to protect you. But you know how
exactly.
It is with the NFL. It's an easy target, and there's a lot of clout chasing that goes on. There's a lot of lawsuits. But I guess the NFL is trying to cover all grounds. I think the NFL is also kind of lucky in that they got two guinea pigs right now. They got time. First of all, they got time, which is the most valuable thing you can have when this is going on. But they got two guinea pigs. I mean, you got baseball starting in less than a month. You got basketball starting in 4 weeks. So you can kind of just see how it goes, and you can kind of, you know, tiptoe and figure out what you want to do. So that's the thing the NFL's got. So we'll see what happens. But you got your wish, John. I mean, it's unfortunate that it took this, but you've been calling for the fat of the preseason to be trimmed for a long, long time. And at the very least, you got your wish now, and we're going to see two preseason games max, although there's reports that the NFLPA might actually be looking at not having any preseason games at all.
I think it's going to be one of those things like that in 5 or 8 years – fans are going to be thinking, why did we even care about preseason in the first place? It's going to be, once it's gone, you're going to be like, well, that was kind of silly in the first place, wasn't it? Just because teams are going to get ready. They do in college. And teams are going to have a more controlled environment. And I'm not talking about from a pandemic standpoint. I'm talking about from a football standpoint. They're going to have a more controlled environment of how they can get their team ready. This whole thought occurred to me probably 7-8 years
ago. Was it in the shower?
No, I'm not Mike Meltzer.
I was thinking about Eric Gordon in the shower last night.
Eric Gordon spoke yesterday too, by the way. I'm sure Meltzer saw that. but I was at an inter-squad practice. I think it was Texans Saints with Vandermeer. So that's how long ago it was. And I've always kind of thought the preseason was silly, but I'm there and I'm listening to Sean Payton and I guess it was Gary Kubiak.
That'd be an awesome conversation.
And they're talking to each other, and we were you know, right there on field side, and they were saying, okay, well, I want to see so and so against so and so because we're going to work on these plays. And Kubiak said, sure, we can do that. And I want to see this guy, this offensive lineman against this defensive lineman. And Sean Payton was saying, yeah, we can do that too. It's better when you can control like the matchups, ones versus ones, or a particular player that you have a question about, a backup, and you want to see how he handles himself against this defensive back or this rush end. It's better for the development of the players. I don't think fans realize that because they are not privy to the inter-squad practices. However, I think they will be eventually. I think those are going to be televised eventually because that's how local money is going to be generated for teams. So I think we're going to be 6 or 8 years from now, we're going to be like, man, that was silly to even have a preseason in the first place.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm kind of one of those people that I think the beauty of sports in a lot of ways is it's fluid. And you know, over time you can kind of change your mind on things. And I've always been a guy who feels like the preseason is necessary, more so for coaches, because I think coaches I think coaches need to go through the routine. You need to be calling plays regardless of if it's the starters or not. But I think I'm kind of starting to see your side of things. And it's kind of weird that it's a pandemic. But as I think about this and I see the potential of the preseason having two games or even none at all, I'm looking at these college teams and I'm looking at these college kids and they don't have a preseason at all. And it just kind of seems like sometimes it's just a waste of time. It's wasted motion. It's a half-assed process to begin with. Now, there are exceptions. I mean, there are some guys and there are some things over the course of history that would have never happened had it not been for the preseason. And a lot of guys made their way onto teams because of the preseason, but there would be also guys who would get on the team because of practice. And it might make coaches have to pay attention to practices a little bit more. And it might also cause coaches to actually have to intensify practices somewhat and learn more about their players instead of having that, you know, second half of a preseason game where you can evaluate depth. So I think I'm all in favor of this. I wasn't necessarily on your side, but I'm on your side now. I'm creeping on your side when it comes to the preseason. I think two might be perfect. Honestly,
it might be. That's where they're going to start.
Might be perfect.
And that's where they're going to start with two.
We'll see what happens, but it's going to be very interesting to keep an eye on. Happy 4th of July to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you on the cusp of potentially a three-day weekend for many, OG.
And with the 4th of July coming, we're not going to go into a whole discussion on this, but I was trying to remember because they talked about the hot dog eating contest on Payne and Pendercast.
Gosh. Worst event in the country, by the way.
I love it.
You're disgusting.
But I'm trying to remember how we all stood because we had this discussion either last year or the year before about ketchup on hot dogs, and I couldn't remember. Yeah. Were you a ketchup on hot dog
absolutely.
Guy with Figgy?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. Figgy?
I don't understand why that's even like a debate.
No, I like it, but my favorite is barbecue. I like barbecue sauce.
Yeah, that's a curveball right there.
And I'm an OG sauce guy. But that's just weird on hot dogs. No, it's got to be mustard, ketchup, relish, mayonnaise, and a little slaw.
No, man, that's just gross.
No to the mayonnaise.
I don't know what y'all are doing. Y'all are trying to do too
much. Got to have mayo. Maybe that was the discussion we had.
Got to go red, yellow, green. Red, yellow, green.
Relish. Relish is a must.
Relish is the best. Gosh, it's so good. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. We'll get more into 4th of July. I got some piping hot sports 4th of July takes. We'll see how out of my damn mind I am. Let's go back a year, though, because I really want to look back a year and just see how much things have changed. Exactly a year ago today, this is what we started out the show with. John Lopez was in a very comfortable place. Can't tell you how comfortable I was or wasn't, but you're going to hear a familiar voice here. We are 23 days away from Texans training camp. We are 30 days away from the trade deadline. Jeff Luno, go ahead and make a move. And we are amidst the drama that comes with NBA free agency. Landry Locker here with you. John Lopez out fishing. Which means we got some sweatpants and a shirt in the building. And the laugh that you can't mistake.
Oh, man.
My man, Stanford Rout, is here. Stanford, how you living, man?
Landry, what's going on, man?
Rout eat for breakfast?
Stanford Rout ate 3 scrambled eggs, and that's it for breakfast.
Pretty cocky of him. Pretty cocky of him to go
I was fishing
there.
A year ago. Go figure.
You were fishing. As much as things change, the more they stay the same. Do you know that if this pandemic had not hit, you know what we would be talking about right now? You know what would actually be happening right now? Do you have any idea?
You know, I think I do. Can I guess?
Go ahead.
I'm a big advocate of those marks in the season that are important. Like in baseball season, you got Memorial Day. To me, once you hit Memorial Day, that's a good time when teams start getting, showing who they are. Then 4th of July. 4th of July is when you get a good grasp of how many games are under the belt and what kind of team. What kind of teams are leading the way? And then there's Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend means it's time, man. I mean, that's your last rush. So I like those holiday marks in time during baseball season.
It would be – the Astros would already be halfway through the season. They would be 83 games exact through the season. And guess who they would be playing today? Guess who they would be starting a road series against?
No idea.
The Washington Nationals.
How about that?
They would be on the revenge tour against the team that beat them in Game 7 of the World Series last season. The Astros would be starting a four-game set in Washington against the Washington Nationals. Do you realize that it was 246 days ago that the Astros lost Game 7 of the World Series? 246 from today.
Dang. Those Nationals fans would be all over them.
246, which led to this, one of the most classic. And the only reason I play this is because I think sports misery would be something that we would welcome right now. I think it would be awesome to be able to get ticked off about sports. And no one on Halloween Day was more pissed off after the Astros lost to the Nationals than yours truly. Astros would be playing the Nationals today if things were going different. But 245 days ago, I faced the wrath of one of our favorite loopholes, the blind man who has been married multiple times. Stu called in to protect the honor of AJ Hinch 245 days ago today. Stu, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Landry.
What up?
You keep telling people you're tired of hearing that. You don't want to hear it. People might be tired of hearing you, too. You run your mouth all the time.
You're right.
Well, you keep putting down all plays. Y'all are like, you don't ever talk good about them. I think people are just tired of hearing you.
What specifically are you tired of hearing, Stu? What are you upset about, man? Talk to me, man. You think A.J. Hinch did a good job yesterday? I mean, do you want me to come on here and celebrate the Game 7 loss in the World Series? What do you want me to do for you, man? I mean, like, to just tell me, lay it out for me, man.
They won 107 games.
Okay.
They made it 7 games World Series. They just happened to get beat.
That's it. It's that simple. That's it. They just got beat.
That's right.
Why'd they get beat?
Because Washington, for 7 games, outplayed them.
Yeah,
as simple as that. You just complain about everything. Blame O'Brien for everything that happens. You don't give him no credit for winning. You're just a bad radio person, Landon.
There it is.
That's all there is to it.
There it is.
Stu, thank you for your call, man.
All right, bye.
Oh, and to be fair, Stu actually loves you.
Oh, he loves me now. That's my guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Stu, man. Shout out to Stu.
Have had your moments. You're kind of 12 steps, you know, with each other.
That's my guy.
And he's now on your side.
Shout out to my guy, Stu, out there holding it down in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. The bitter taste of defeat is something we talk about in sports, but I'm actually starving for it. So at 10:40, we're going to go through every Texans loss from the last two seasons, and John Lopez is going to rank the final call from Mark Vandermeer. How pissed off does Vandy sound? Because I think we could use a taste of defeat. I'm starving for a taste of defeat. We'll do that. We'll also get you ready for 4th of July weekend. A lot of stuff going on around here. But there's going to be some sneaking going on when the NBA resumes in 4 weeks. NBA players are going to be sneaking in lot lizards. And the Rockets could be sneaking around trying to find a Mike D'Antoni replacement. We'll give you the latest next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
NBA resumes in 4 weeks. There's a concern, not just about the pandemic, but about NBA players going without sex for at least 3 weeks, a month, maybe even 3 months. Damon Lillard was on ESPN yesterday, and he made a statement that has John Lopez thinking. He's not necessarily talking about what you may think. Here's Damon Lillard talking about all the rules that have been laid out for the NBA as they arrive at the bubble at Disney in Florida. And J-Lo, I want you to tell me what you make of what the Portland Trailblazers guard had to say about if he thinks the rules are going to be followed.
Confidence ain't great. My confidence ain't great because you telling me you're going to have 22 teams full of players follow all the rules. When we have 100% freedom, everybody don't follow all the rules. So I don't have much confidence, but hopefully it'll be handled to a point where, like, we're not putting everybody at risk or in a dangerous position.
All right, we know what this is about, right? I mean,
We talked about it
yesterday.
Is he talking about ping pong? Is he talking about how you can't play double ping pong?
He's talking about something double, but it isn't ping pong. This is what this is about. We said it yesterday. I stand by it. I shared a couple of stories from my time traveling with NBA squads. Damian Lillard knows what we all should know, and that is they're going to find a way. They're going to find a way to get friends, let's say, into that bubble and compromise the security. And it's undefeated, and it's going to stay undefeated no matter what the NBA tries.
It's not only they're going to try. If you've ever been around an NBA hotel, if you've ever been around an NBA locker room, if you've ever been in near the locker room or wherever they go post game during an NBA game, the other side's going to try too.
Oh,
they
want
to be around these players just as bad as these players want to be around them. Those hotels, they look like, it's almost like a I don't even know how to put it, but the thirst is on both sides. There are women who want to be around these players just as bad as these players want to be around these women.
Dude, you are so right. It's always like anytime there's some sort of whatever, you know, some kind of dalliance, okay? and it's not approved by the spouse. People think like, well, what a pig that guy is. Well, they're not doing it by themselves. I mean, they're not alone in this dalliance, as we will call it. Somebody else is involved, and that somebody else is generally pretty eager. And you're right. I mean, lobbies, bars, outside, by the bus, at the game, passing numbers. I mean, what else do you want? You've seen it all.
Yeah, and they got to have security out front. Hell, they might have El Chapo style underground tunnels. When it's all said and done, sneaking girls into their Disney hotels at this point.
I wouldn't be
surprised if that didn't start.
Rodman would have done it. Rodman would have a team of construction
engineers.
Rodman
would have just walked out the front and said, screw y'all, I'm going in. I'm going to go get it myself.
Stop me.
So there will be sneaking around in that manner when the Rockets return in 28 days. But what about the sneaking around that the Rockets could potentially be doing? Because it seemed like, you know, a short time ago that it was a foregone conclusion that this would be the end of Mike D'Antoni's run as the Rockets head coach. Let's just go back and revisit Tillman Fertitta's beef with Mike D'Antoni and the contract extension and everything last offseason, just to get a taste of why that assumption was made as the Rockets are on the cusp of trying to make a championship run. Here was Tillman Fertitta during the offseason talking about the contract of Mike D'Antoni.
I made Mike a great extension offer. It was one of the better base salaries in basketball, but also had the highest incentives in basketball. Mike could make $4 million in incentives. It was $4 million worth of incentives. And if you go from the second round to winning the championship, you can get there real easy. I would prefer him to always work with at least a two-year contract.
That was a little taste of it. And this was another taste of Tillman Fertitta saying that Mike D'Antoni, by rejecting that offer, which, by the way, there were a lot of things to read in the fine print of that contract, but he said that D'Antoni, the 69-year-old head coach of the Rockets, actually did him a favor.
Even last year when somebody said, well, Tillman's the one who made that extension offer to – or made the extension to last year to Mike, and these two guys, being the gentlemen that they are, you know, said, Tillman, why don't you do it? You know, you haven't really done anything as the owner except buy the team. Why don't you call Mike and tell him we're exercising his option for another year? So any noise you hear about that, that's exactly what it is.
So isn't that like admitting that you did do it, though, that you offered the extension? This was interesting, and I just don't know how you recover from this, John. I think while NBA players might be sneaking around for that thing, I wonder if the Rockets aren't already starting to look at replacements for Mike D'Antoni when the next season begins, the 2020-2021.
I think they are. They absolutely are. A couple of rumors already out there, Thibodeau, Van Gundy, I'm sure there's more, you know, because wouldn't we be hearing about some sort of talks on an extension, you know, that they're reopening the talks if they were interested in D'Antoni. I think that what they're really waiting for is, okay, if you win us a championship, we'll get you, you know, we'll get you back. But they're not. It's the worst kept secret in the NBA that they're going to move on from D'Antoni.
I'm uncomfortable with how much his age keeps getting mentioned. I don't understand how the NBA, who's usually pretty delicate with these situations, keeps mentioning these ages. I mean, there are NBA, there are NFL coaches that are in the same range, 69. There are baseball managers. Dusty Baker's in his 70s, and we're not hearing near as much about this age thing. I don't understand it. It's strange. I don't get it. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know where this came from, but it's kind of uncomfortable for me that I'm hearing Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni and Alvin Gentry of New Orleans, and I'm having to hear about their age every 5 seconds when it doesn't seem like that's the case with the other leagues. I don't get it at all.
No, I mean, Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, what have they done that others have not? Well, they've won a championship, and that's why you don't hear it. Belichick is 68. I mean, nobody talks about his age because he's got the championship. I think this age talk about D'Antoni is going to stop if he were to win an NBA championship. It all of a sudden, you know, he's actually pretty spry.
He's pretty good.
So that's all that is. It's just another little aspect of it. Alvin Popovich. Well, Popovich has won a bunch of championships, but they're always talked about with their age as well.
I also think it's interesting if you just look at the two stops that the NBA season has made. So that was before the season. You had Fertitta talking about D'Antoni. This stop that we've had where the NBA was paused, it was Fertitta talking about Daryl Morey. This was Fertitta at the White House, and this is one of probably the six times that I can count that unsolicited Daryl Morey's comments about China were brought up.
It's been devastating, and it's, you know, it's funny you brought up about China. I should have realized it was going to be a bad year for China when my general manager tweeted out, you know, freedom for Hong Kong. So that started my year with China.
And you kept it quiet, right? You kept that quiet.
So I'm still trying to work that out. And here comes something else.
He owns the Houston Rockets, in case you don't know. Yeah, he did cause you a little ruckus. Whatever happened to him, by the way? Is he still working for
whatever
you?
Whatever happened.
Yes, he is.
He must be pretty good.
Yes, because it's just it's a trick question, but he is.
Man.
Dude, it's a trick question. I'm still dealing with that.
Whatever happened to that guy?
Long. What was that? No, that was like a month and a half ago at the most. I mean, it's just a total drive-by, unsolicited.
This. Absolutely love it. The different types of sneaking around. There's going to be some sneaking around when the Rockets resume play in 4 weeks. There could be some sneaking around in a different manner with your Houston Rockets. It's normally one of the things that gives you the worst taste in your mouth. But with sports being put on hold right now, I feel like the bitter taste of defeat would actually be very, very sweet right now. So let's get that taste courtesy of the Houston Texans through the voice of a good friend of John Lopez, Mark Vandermeer. We are going to consume the taste of defeat before we consume all that grub this weekend on 4th of July. Keep it locked in. The Loop continues next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader.
Localize It.
Sports Radio 610.
Taste of defeat is extremely bitter for sports fans. Sometimes when your squad loses, if it's the Texans, you don't even want to talk to anyone for a week till the next game when you get a chance at vindication. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you, Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. John, that's usually the case.
Yep.
But with sports on hold right now, and hopefully resuming very, very soon, I am starving for the taste of defeat. I want that taste of defeat. It's no longer bitter to me. It's almost like a nice piece of strawberry cheesecake. That first bite of cheesecake. I want loopholes calling in mad at a loss. I want to sit here and talk about what went wrong when a loss happened. I want that taste more than anything right now, John, and I think I'm going to feed it to you and the loopholes and myself.
Well, just real quick on that point, it's how we become fans, right? I mean, we become fans because you start pulling for a team and then you sense and you feel absolute heartbreak. That heartbreak is what makes you a fan. You know, what was it, that line in, that Tom Hanks said in A League of Their Own? The hard is what makes it great. You know, the hard is what makes it great. Sometimes the loss
is... Sure, that wasn't what NBA players said.
Well, we'll see once they get into the bubble. But that's what makes us where we are. So I agree with you. Yeah, I miss that. Dang it, you know. Let's talk about this horrible, horrible upset, this horrible, horrible loss that we had.
Of all the quotes from League of Their Own, the hard is what makes it great. That is an underrated line from a very underrated movie. One of the top three baseball movies of all time, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
Because she says, it's too hard. The hard is what makes it great.
God, Jimmy Duggan, he stopped drinking and started becoming a hell of a manager, just did his thing. Kind of an unrealistic movie, though, but, you know, it is what it is. Although it did happen. I just don't think it quite happened.
Although it's true to life.
Although I don't think it quite happened exactly like that. Let's taste some defeats. And let's do it courtesy of the 2018 Houston Texans, the 2019 Houston Texans, and the great, one of your good friends, Mark Vandermeer. Let's start on September 9th, 2019. Now, this is a memorable day in the loop history, because this was the day where if the Texans had won the game, you would have gotten damn near triple your money, which meant that myself and many loopholes decided we were going to send some money to Las Vegas. It got up to about $10,000, which is why right now I do not have a I cannot pay you directly, because apparently they thought I had a gambling side or something like that. Texans versus the Patriots. Texans end up losing this game 27-20. This was the "it's not my job" game. Bill O'Brien getting snappy, saying, "it's not my job." Here's the final call as we taste what was once the bitter taste of defeat from Mark Vandermeer in the season opener in 2018.
First down at the 43-yard line of Houston. Watson in the gun. Here's the snap. Deshaun looking. Deshaun trying to get time to get his receivers open. Scrambles out to the right, and he's going to air it out long and deep. And tipped and incomplete. The game is over. The Texans make a second-half run, but it's not enough as Houston begins at 0-1, losing to the Patriots again, 27-20.
Rank the anger of Mark Vandermeer. You can see through it. It was the first game of the year. It was in New England. 1-10. Rank the disgust of your close friend, Mark Vandermeer, as we taste the sweet taste of defeat here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610.
Well, let me put it this way, because I love this exercise. I can tell you right now that the ranking of the anger is going to be 10 on all of them. Now, it's what he shows.
Okay, rank how good he did at covering it up. So 1-10. If because he doesn't do a good job covering up, make it it's a 1. If he does a great job covering it up, make it a 10.
The anger he exhibits, because it's always 10. Vandy he dies with these guys, man. It could be a preseason game, for God's sakes. But the anger he exhibits, I'm going to say that's about a 5. I thought he held it together pretty well.
Good job, Vandy.
You know, he was the one good thing I like about Vandy, and I think it's what separates him from a lot of local radio guys in the NFL or in any major sport, but in the NFL, he always calls it right. Like, he'll give credit to the other team and make it a great call. The famous, you know, Vince Young run right down the middle in overtime.
Insanity, yeah.
Stop the Vinsanity. That is one of the greatest calls in Titans history, but it was the Texans announcer that did it. He's really good at calling it fair, but you can sense and feel his angst, and that was about a 5 right there.
So Vandy starts with a 5. We are tasting the sweet taste, what's normally the bitter taste, but it's the sweet taste of defeat, because we are starving for some sports heartbreak. Week 2 of that season, September 16th, 2018. This was a frustrating loss. Marcus Mariota out for the Tennessee Titans. Blaine Gabbert starting. You remember the fake field goal where the Tennessee Titans caught the Texans sleeping? Texans end up losing that game, and they fall to 0-2. Let's see how Vandermeer hid his disgust, because there was a lot of it going around here. Here is Mark Vandermeer's final call as we taste the sweet yet bitter taste of defeat.
Second down and 10 at the Houston 48-yard line. Watson to the gun, Miller to his left. Deshaun takes the snap. Watson looking. Now he scrambles out to the right. He's going to run out of time. Deshaun's got to throw it. He's got to make a play. Watson running. 5 seconds left, and Watson throws over the middle to Hopkins, but they're not going to get the spike in. They're going to run out of time, and the game is over. 20-17, Houston falls. Watson trying to find an open man downfield, but lost track of time, basically, and the Texans go to 0-2 to start 2018.
Now, how did he keep it in?
You could hear it. You could hear, he's like, what are they doing? That's a 9.5, and Andre Ware was like a 27 on
Wait,
a scale of
he's
10.
He's a 1.5 as far as keeping it
9
in.
And a half.
Oh, 9.5 and keeping
nine
it in.
9.5.
Okay.
Nine, but Andre, you know Andre was just swallowing the microphone. He was so mad.
All right. Rough start to 2018 as we taste
Man, who could forget
the
it.
Defeat. So New York Giants coming to town. Not a good football team, but right off the bat, the Giants just bullied the Houston Texans on September 23rd, 2018. They end up winning 27-22. It was an ugly one. Texans were dominated. Here's Mark Vandermeer with the final call as we taste the defeat.
Manning takes a knee, and it's over at NRG Stadium with the Giants beating the Texans 27-22, and Houston goes to 0-3 in deep trouble in the AFC South to start the 2018 campaign.
As soon as Dre starts making sounds, it ain't
you
it
know
ain't
it.
Good.
It's not good.
It ain't good.
He's not real good at hiding it. That was about a 9. I think Vandy held it together pretty well, but the frustration. And at this point, we're all thinking, oh, this season's going off the rails. And you know he was thinking it too.
Well, Texans end up winning 9 in a row. And they went to Indianapolis to face the Colts December 9th, 2018. The Colts, they end the 9-game win streak, 24-21. This one, I think Vandermeer actually doesn't sound discouraged at all, but you know him better than I. So tell me how Vandy sounded as we taste the bitter yet sweet taste of defeat here on In the Loop.
Luck takes a knee with 35 seconds to go. This game is over. The winning streak is over. The Texans fall to Indianapolis 24-21. And they see their record drop to 9-4, while the Colts are 7-6 and still alive in the division. But the Texans can help themselves with 3 games to go in the regular season starting Saturday against the New York Jets on the road.
Seems pretty content.
I think he was pretty. He understood that 9-game win streak had a lot of fortunate moments in it. And, you know, it had to end sooner or later. And he hates the Colts.
Hates them.
You know,
hates them.
The Colts.
Hates
them. So it hurts. I'll say 7.5.
All right. This one's going to be tough for Vandy because this was a tough loss for the Texans. This was a chance to get a bye. This was week 16. Now, we know the Philadelphia Eagles eventually won the Super Bowl, but no one saw that coming at this point. And the Texans had a golden opportunity. Jadeveon Clowney was dominant the whole game. However, on the Eagles' final drive, with the Eagles looking to answer Deshaun Watson's pass to Vincent Smith in the back of the end zone with under a minute left, Clowney roughs Foles. Eagles get in field goal range. They have a chip shot to go for the win. Vandermeer is going to have to call a game-winning field goal in a game in which the Texans could have had a bye. Let's see how well he keeps it together as we taste the bitter yet sweet taste of defeat.
35-yard field goal attempt, left hash mark for Jake Elliott. Here's the snap. Here's the kick on the way, and it's good. And the Texans lose to Philadelphia 32-30 and drop to 10-5. And the playoffs will have to wait for now.
I can tell you exactly what happened. I wasn't in the booth there, but he watches the game with binoculars, which is really always impressive to me. Vandy watches every snap with binocs, watches the ball, calls the game
binocs?
Through the binoculars.
Isn't it binoculars?
Binoculars, yeah. Well, yeah, binocs, whatever. But on that one, you can tell that he actually was looking at the monitor because as soon as he said on the way, knowing that it was going through the middle. He's like, on the way. He knew it was going to be good.
He did not keep it together there, and I really can't blame him. That was a tough L. You mentioned that he hates the Colts.
Hates the Colts.
He also hates when the season ends. which brings us to the final game of the 2018 season, January 5th, 2019. This one was ugly. Colts jumped out to a 21-0 lead. Marlon Mack running all over the Texans' defense. Texans score in the second half to make it 21-7, but this wasn't even as close as the scoreboard. As we taste the bitter yet sweet taste of defeat, here is Mark Vandermeer trying to keep it together as the Colts end the Texans season at NRG.
Luck approaches the line of scrimmage, the 23-yard line of Houston. Victory formation. Andrew Luck takes the snap, takes the knee, and the season is over for the Houston Texans. A stunning loss, 21-7. It was a tremendous run for the Texans back from 0-3 to win the AFC South, but they fall short in the playoffs by 14 to their nemesis, the Indianapolis Colts.
Ah, big strong man. That's
how he says that's nemesis.
That's an 11 on a 10 scale. Come on, man. I mean, that's the end of the season. Just a gut punch for Vandy.
So we come to the 2019 season, September 9th, 2019, primetime. At New Orleans against the Saints. Looks like the Texans are going to get the W. Deshaun Watson finds Kenny Stills with under a minute left. Texans, all they got to do is keep the Saints out of field goal range, but Aaron Colvin decides he's going to go in the stands and get a popcorn instead of press the receiver, which leads to Mark Vandermeer for the second time in this exercise having to call a game-winning field goal for the Texans' opponents.
Morstead will hold. Snap is down. The kick is up. And he's got it. And the Texans lose at the buzzer to the New Orleans Saints. An absolute crusher. 30-28.
You heard Dre.
Yep. John Harris was telling him in their ears, it's good. It's good.
Game.
So that's why he called it like that.
Game.
Oh, that was a tough one. Golly, that was a tough loss.
It gets a little tougher. Texans win their next two games. This one was a surprising one. Cam Newton shut down. Kyle Allen gets the start for the Carolina Panthers on September 29th, 2019. We remember the DeAndre Hopkins double pass that led to an interception. This was a tough L. Texans fall to 2-2. Here is Vandermeer tasting the bitter yet sweet taste of defeat.
4 seconds to go. Watson gets the snap. Steps out to his right. Deshaun looking. And Deshaun fires deep downfield to the end zone. It's tipped and it's incomplete. The game is over. Houston falls to Carolina 16-10. Hail Mary comes up short. Texans see their two-game winning streak come to an end.
Kyle Allen.
Kyle F.
That was the legend of Kyle Allen starting.
That was awful.
Didn't last that long, though.
Tasting the sweet, bitter taste of defeat here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Back to Mark Vandermeer's least favorite place, Indianapolis, October 20th, 2019. This was Jacoby Brissett, who was the AFC Player of the Week that week. Eric Ebron acting cocky as hell. One-handed touchdown in the back of the end zone. This was the fake punt game with Bill O'Brien. That was kind of this loss was actually kind of buried because the Colts actually took possession of first place in October of last year.
Yeah.
This was before injuries really started getting the best of them. But yeah, it was also the same weekend that Jose Altuve hit the walk-off against the New York Yankees. So it was kind of buried.
Kind of lost.
But don't tell that to Mark Vandermeer, who hates losing in Indy.
And Brissett takes the snap, takes a knee, it's over. The Texans fall to Indianapolis 30-23 as the Colts take over first place in the AFC South and the Texans drop to 4-3 on the season with the Raiders up next.
God, he hates that.
That's a tough one. You can hear it in his voice. I mean, it's the Colts. And they could see kind of things slipping away a little bit.
Ugliest loss of the year last year. Now, the Kansas City one, not good, obviously, when you start out 24-0 and you end up losing. But the 41-7 assing at the hands of the Baltimore Ravens, in which the backup quarterback comes in the game for the large majority of the second half, RG3, we were wondering if the Texans were elite. Could the Texans beat the Chiefs and the Ravens and propel themselves into the top tier of the AFC? It did not happen. It was an absolute dominant beatdown. Yeah. Here's the final words of Mark Vandermeer after that beatdown.
They set up inside 5 seconds on the play clock. They'll take a knee. RG3 kneels down. It is over.
The Texans lose big at Baltimore, 41-7, and are faced with a very quick turnaround for a crucial battle with the Colts on Thursday night.
Yeah, and that was one of those where you could sense in his voice, that's a good solid 8 or 9 in this frustration scale. You could sense in his voice that this was their opportunity to do something, make some hay for the postseason, and then they realized, you know, maybe we're just not that good.
The good news is they did beat the Colts. They did beat the Colts. Hobble T.Y. Hilton, Thursday Night Football. Texans beat the Colts, regain possession of the AFC South. But one of the uglier losses once again. We're already getting texts that this one was worse than the Baltimore one from 9596. The Denver Broncos, the You Suck 2 game from Bill O'Brien. Texans trail 31-3 at halftime. Kareem Jackson just wreaking havoc on his former team. Here's Mark Vandermeer after the Broncos and Drew Lock making his second start came to NRG and dominated the Texans.
Lock under center takes a knee. It is over. The Texans stunningly fall to the Denver Broncos. Now 8-5 on the year. This sets up the big battle at Tennessee next week.
What happened in the tunnel that game?
You suck too, mother trucker. Is what Bill O'Brien told the fan. Texans end up winning in Tennessee, though. They end up going on to win the division. They lost to the Tennessee Titans in Week 17. No one really cared about that one because we knew that they already had the division locked up. So we don't need to hear Vandermeer on that one. But here is the final words of the final loss, the most recent loss the Texans
The last time
have
we
endured.
Heard Vandermeer make a call.
We remember this. For the field goal up 21-0, the Justin Reed fake punt, the blown 24-0 lead. Here's the last time we heard the golden tones of Mark Vandermeer.
Mahomes takes a knee. It is over. The Houston Texans lose in the divisional round to Kansas City, 51-31. The campaign comes to an end as the Texans, AFC South champions, bow out in the divisional round to the Chiefs.
Golly. You know, I still can't get over that game. I know
awful.
The Chiefs were better.
Awful.
But just how it all played out was just crazy.
Just awful.
A
sweet yet bitter taste of defeat. I think we would love to taste that around right now. We might get it a month from now when the Rockets resume, or 28 days actually, 4 weeks and less than a month when the Astros resume training camp coming as well. Speaking of the Texans, Rockets, and the Astros, all three of those teams suffered losses yesterday. Were they real losses, or was this a win-lose? We will explain next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.